Welcome to The Educated Investor, brought to you by the Householder Group Estate and Retirement Planning. At Cishon Financial, Regional Vice President David Cishon takes a proactive approach to helping you develop a strategy to address your financial goals and objectives using the most efficient methods available. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley and David Cishon.
Welcome to The Educated Investor. As mentioned, my name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are starting your week off once again with our show. And it's always good to have David Cishon with us with the Householder Group, Estate and Retirement Specialist. Their number, 720-482-1917. David, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm fine, Scott. And how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Hey, pretty good weekend and all. And beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, they're
out, and
the Broncos scored again, you know.
Hey, I'm telling you, man. I 3-0, and you know, yeah, they hadn't really beaten anybody yet. Next week will be their first good test, but as we both know in sports, hey, 3 wins in any, you know, big league like NFL or Major League Baseball, whatever, hey, 3 wins are better than 3 losses.
Well, that's just it. And, you know, that's NFL teams. Yeah, they're not that good, but everyone's got to play, and you got to play the teams you're playing, and the best you can do is come out on the top, and they've done that 3 times. So hopefully it'll calm the raging hearts of fans here that they've got some victories and give them the confidence that, you know, they might pull some surprises out.
Sure. Has Teddy Bridgewater surprised you a little bit with his play?
Oh, geez, yeah. You know, I mean, I didn't know him that well.
I mean, nor did I.
An NFL quarterback. But you know, what I like, you can tell almost immediately, he's very calm.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be under control. He doesn't run around like a fool. And he's earned the respect of the guys from the comments they're making, in the sense that you know, he's got his hands on the ball and the throttle, and he doesn't make a lot of stupid mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what this show is all about, trying to keep you from making stupid mistakes. I'll say it so David doesn't. But, you know, it is a – kind of an equivalent position, David, and what, you know, we come to you for, and that is to, you know, hey, read the situation, and sometimes that situation changes from one play to the next, and one day to the next, 1 week to the next, 1 month to the next. But if you've got that quarterback, so to speak, helping you read all this stuff, and although you may not understand everything about it, hey, we got the right quarterback, and that's choosing the right financial partner, isn't it?
Well, it does help to have someone that you trust, because trust is the key in this business between advisors and clients and folks. And if you're concerned or don't have the trust in somebody, find someone that you do, because these mistakes can get very costly very quickly, and then you're the person that has to recover from those mistakes. So, which is why, you know, we always talk about to folks of finding a fiduciary to work with, not just an insurance guy or a stockbroker.
Right.
Although those are all good professions, and professionals that are in there are very good. It's just a fiduciary is a big deal for a client, because that fiduciary has to put the client's interest first, has to do what's in the client's best interest without any arguments. And if there's any... the advisor has any kinds of conflicts of interest, he must disclose that to the client immediately. And having a fiduciary is someone that you want in your corner, because they will do the best for you given your circumstances.
Right.
You know, we get calls all the time from folks asking us questions. It has nothing to do with investing. It has to do with other areas of financial planning that we'll touch on. Because when they're all taken together, they produce a plan or a plan of attack for the customer. You can't just hide things in isolation. It doesn't work.
Sure. And, you know, I was just listening to the opening, and sometimes, you know, I certainly remember the words that are in there, but a word that just stuck out to me when I was listening before you came on was talked about a strategy. And it's such an individualized plan, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, and it has to fit the comfort level of that individual, not just things like risk tolerance, how risky can you be or cannot be. It's the comfort level. That client has got to be comfortable with whatever the suggestions are. And as far as I am concerned, as a fiduciary, I don't care where that comfort level is. As long as that client is comfortable in what they're doing and willing to do it, and it won't keep them up all night, that's a good thing. And then all we do is monitor these situations and converse with the client as to how they're going and what's going on and what you need to do or didn't do.
Right.
So it's it is a team approach between that client and the advisor.
Sure. Once again, you're listening to Educate Investor. David C. Sean is our guest. All right. We talked about this last week, so we are going to give you some dates and times again. This is Rejuvenate Your Retirement, and this is an educational course for retirees sponsored by Arapahoe Community College, and this is right by Chaparral High School, located at 15653 Brookstone Drive in Parker. And this Thursday, we'll kick it off. So if you want to do Thursdays, we've got two Thursdays lined up for you, September 30th and October 7th from 1 to 3 p.m. Or if Tuesdays work better for you in the morning time, it's Tuesdays, October 5th and 12th from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And all you have to do is call 303-797-5722. Again, that number, 303-797-5722. There is a $35 registration fee for that, and that's for Arapahoe Community College. And, David, let's kind of walk through a little bit, and we can delve a little bit more into detail this week on what some of those course topics are going to include.
Right, yeah. And we have these two-hour sessions, and it's an attempt to provide a high-level overview and review of those areas that are of concern for people who are either retired or going to be retired in the near future. And and of course, one of the in the first course of the program, we'll talk about retirement income concerns of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what the current rules are, how have they changed? We look at things like risk. You know, what does it mean when I ask you and you tell me that you're a moderate risk taker? What does that mean? Does that mean you can, if you have $100,000 that you have in your IRA and you haven't invested, that you could lose $25,000 and not wake up in the middle of the night? Or does that mean if you're down $5,000, you're going to be screaming and yelling and very upset? You know, so we define that and we talk about that. We talk about why we have to be prepared for the longer term in retirement for most people. Again, because of longevity and what the effect of that is on the overall financial situation that someone has. And then how can we protect against longevity. In other words, our life expectancy might be 25 years, but what happens if it's 30 or 35?
Sure.
How do we handle that? So retirement income concerns are, it's an important area that we spend a chunk of time on. And then we'll also address a very important area, how long will my money last? You know, well, in order to know that, there's certain basic things you've got to know. Of course, is how much income you got coming in and when.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of expenses are you paying for currently? And then how do we calculate what we need, knowing our income and expenses? Can we live within a budget of some sort, whether it's in writing or in our minds? And what would happen if we said, gee, you know, our income, we're going to have $4,000 coming in from Social Security and a pension if we're lucky enough to have it, or IRA distributions. But what happens if the market falls like it did in 2008 or like it fell in the pandemic?
Right.
What happens to our assets? Are we going to be able to stay the course? Can we afford to lose some income for a period of time or not? And then what's the effect on our income for taxes and inflation?
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people have a tendency to think of it, not to bother thinking too much about inflation, but, you know, we have to, because purchasing power, you know, that quart of milk that you're buying or half gallon of milk that you're buying costs X today. In 5 years, 10 years, it's going to be X plus. Do we have that built into our ability to meet those rising costs of inflation? And, you know, this is a very, very serious problem. We go into this a little bit more in our class, because right now, you may or may not know this, but we have dollar bills in circulation. And in the year 2000, which was, you know, 21 years ago,
mm-hmm.
for 300,000 people, we had like 4.2 trillion, trillion with a T, dollars floating in circulation. Right now, approximately, we have 20.2 trillion. And 40% was printed last year. And by 2029, they feel that we'll have over 135 trillion. That's the government's estimates, in 135 trillion in circulation. So you go from 4 trillion to 20 trillion to 135 trillion. That spells inflation like we haven't seen it in a long time. That is unbelievable, yeah. The amount of dollars.
You know, I keep waiting to pull off from the bank after maybe getting a few bucks out and getting ink on my fingers from the dollar bills just being printed there.
Yeah, that's right. And so inflation, people have got to get a handle on that, and we do spend some time on that. And taxation, of course.
Sure.
I mean, taxation that's going on in Washington right now, all of the proposals, they're all over the lot. And we don't know which way they're going to fall. But I'll tell you one thing that I feel is imminent. May not be today. It might be in a year or two, or certainly by 2025. But our taxes are going to increase very, very significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is all of the monies that we owe. You know, our liabilities in the United States, if you want to see it, you can go on usdebtclock.org and see it for yourself. But we have unfunded liabilities right now in this country of $162 trillion that we have to pay. And it's estimated by 2025 that will be $213 trillion. That's a big jump.
Man. Yeah,
it's just a lot of money in debt. So the government has two ways in which to handle this increase and all of that. They can just continue to print more money, which I think they will, and they can raise taxes significantly. And right now, that significant tax increase is right on the burner. Mm-hmm. You know, in 1980, 40 years ago, if you earned $43,000 a year and you had a family of four, standard deductions, you were in the 43% tax bracket. Earning that same amount of money, but taking into consideration inflation today, you'd have to be earning about $110,000. But with the standard deductions of a family of four and so forth, you're only in the 12% tax bracket. I think we're going to see the low bracket, the lowest brackets that we have, like 10%. I think we're going to see the lowest brackets probably as much as 20%. I think we'll see the middle income average brackets over 60%. And the high marginal earners, probably over 90 or 90. Now, I know that sounds silly, but we've had that situation many times in the past.
Yes, sir.
In the 60s, the lowest bracket was 20. The middle bracket was 69%, and the highest was 91. That was several times. So when they need money, they raise taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an area of taxation where we'll spend some time on that and what alternatives that we can do to mitigate those taxes. And then we go into, you know, in that first session, we go into investments. And this takes quite a bit of time of the course in the first ones, because we look at the emotional side of investing. That being, you know, I mean, if I'm investing in stocks, can I handle the volatility? Do I really know that I can handle that going down 15% and not jump off the building? You know, we look at the different types of risks in investment. There are several big types of risk in investing, and it's just not the risk of volatility. There's a number of them, and we go through them so that the client can see them and understanding those kinds of risk. And then how do we mitigate those risks that we could take? How do we lower the volatility if we choose a particular strategy? You know, can we do certain things to protect our money? And the answer is yes, you can. So we go through some of those things that they can protect so that they don't see a 30 or 40 or 50% downturn in their investments.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, income taxes, like I say, it's a big thing. And I feel very badly for a number of folks that if they don't pay attention and they're living on a fixed income every month of a good chunk and they're happy and it's working for them, and all of a sudden the taxes go up by 20%, what does that do to your income? Well, it just wrecks it. And now you've gone from being comfortable to being uncomfortable and having to tap maybe into your principal that's left. So there are considerations here that we've got to look at to make sure that you understand and that you know that there are solutions to a certain degree on all of these areas. You know, and then we go into the different types of tools that they could use, whether it's managing the monies themselves or third-party money managers or using mutual funds or exchange-traded funds and what the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
And then different types of annuities that can be used to provide some sort of protection, whether it's for income or principal or both. And understanding, you know, what you have to be aware of when you buy these annuities.
And David, that probably takes, you know, I mean, I realize a lot of people that come to these may have, you know, some type of plan already in place. They may have in their mind an education in financial stuff a little bit. But you could probably spend a couple hours on just taking that point right there, explaining, because a lot of people don't understand what all that stuff means, do they?
No, they don't, you know, and that's why when we do explain this, we do it in a fashion that's kind of interesting and enjoyable and will stick with people. For example, I'll bring up the three options for paying taxes, and I'll say to them, which one would you prefer? So tax me now is choice one. That's having current income come in and paying taxes on your CDs and savings and dividend-paying stocks, let's say. Or you can choose tax me later. Well, tax me later are things like IRAs and 401ks and other retirement accounts and real estate, you know, or non-dividend-paying stocks, stuff like that. So it's deferred later. Or number three option is tax me never. Now, which one would you prefer?
Sure.
Most people want tax me never, and yet very few people have much of their asset classes directed to the tools you can use for tax me never. And tax me never is a good thing to have as an objective. We all can't do it 100% necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you the way the things are going to go with taxes, and if we're not looking at the strategy of, okay, maybe I should take out X number of dollars from my qualified plan or IRA, okay, and convert it, pay the tax now, because we are in a low tax bracket. We're in the lowest brackets in, like, I guess about 40 years. Well, does it make sense to pay the tax on some of that money today and then never pay a tax again? Even if the income tax brackets go from 10 to 20 or 25 or up to 39 or 69, it doesn't matter at that point.
Right.
So we look at those structures and those ideas to see which one could work for each person there, so they have a handle on how they can make their little analysis work for their specific situation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Once again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Educate Investor. David C. Sean is our guest. And what we are talking about is an upcoming in-person seminar, Rejuvenate Your Retirement, sponsored by Arapahoe Community College. And this is right by Chaparral High School. And the address is 15653 Brookstone Drive in Parker. And it is this Thursday, starts it off. So September the 30th and October 7th. 1 to 3 p.m. So the course consists of two-hour classes, and you've also got a choice of October 5th and 12th, which are morning classes, 9:30 to 11:30, which is Tuesdays. So September 30th and the 7th, Thursdays, 1 to 3, October 5th and 12th, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., and that course, again, consists of these two-hour classes. Call 303-797-5722. $35 is a registration fee that the college does charge for this, but you may attend with a spouse, partner, or guest. You'll get a take-home textbook. Seating is limited, so don't wait. Hey, call now, 303-797-5722. And, David, you've also said, you know, hey, maybe it's just one of the adults that can come, retirees can come, and maybe bring a child with them or something. You know, one of their, when I say child, they're maybe in their 40s or whatever, but 50s, but, you know, they could come to something like this too to kind of learn more about this.
Well, they can, and they, and many of them do. I encourage that. In fact, when we work with folks, older folks, I encourage them to bring their kids into our meetings to give them some insight as to what's going on, so things aren't a shock. Again, we look at these various areas of financial planning, and of course, estate planning is one of those areas.
Sure.
So, if someone were to die, or get in a car accident and become an invalid, or hospitalized forever, what are the things they need to know, and where are the assets located, and how do we access them, and what do we do to handle these situations? So it is important that these kids, if you will, mm-hmm. understand, so that it doesn't become a burden at a time when there's a lot of burden on them when someone dies or gets hurt. And that's why we go into these other subjects in the second part of the course, a second two-hour session. We're talking about retirement income sources. Where's these monies coming from? And how can we turn some of these assets into, let's say, guaranteed income, or enough guaranteed income that if a pandemic or some other catastrophe strikes, your cash flow is safe. You're okay. You
right.
won't have to worry.
Sure.
You know. So we do that, and we also spend quite a bit of time on healthcare planning, as well as what I said, estate planning, because, again, healthcare is a big area of concern in the fact that we're told between the premiums that we spend for, let's say, Medicare or supplemental insurance, that we can get a lot of benefit
right.
if we're putting our monies in the right places.
And I tell you, this whole matter of health care, man, that could be a four-hour course in itself. Just walking through, because there's just so much unknown here. And, boy, the expenses of things. And, you know, deductibles for just a normal plan, you know, $8,000 for people and out of pocket. And geez, it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's getting worse. And it's true. You know, they say $250,000 to $300,000 of assets we need to spend for each person in retirement for health care. That seems like a huge amount. Now, that's premiums and deductibles and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it adds up quickly because the older we get, the more things seem to ail us. So it's a big drain on the financial side if you don't have it properly in place or if your assets aren't properly protected.
Right. All right. So, David, again, we always make this clear. This is an educational seminar, okay?
Yep.
And so, man, you can ask questions with David. And then, of course, if you would like to set up a time with him, happy to do that. So someone comes to this, they do want to set up a time. Let's talk about what that initial consultation would look like with you.
Yeah, what we do is we offer, I call it a laboratory at the end of the class, really, where they can come in for an hour, hour and a half, and review their own circumstances and situations and see how they could put or use some of these tools that we talk about in the class that will help them, regardless of what section or part of the course they're talking about. And many times we'll ask them, okay, well, have this, make out an appointment. We'll ask you to bring in some information, basic information that you can, if you want, bring in. And we'll review that in that hour, hour and a half. It is part of the course that I offer. It doesn't cost anything, and it is pure education. There's no sales tactics or tools that we're going to talk about. It's how to utilize the course and the things that you've learned in your own life.
Right.
So it works out pretty well.
Absolutely. So once again, let me give you the dates and times. Start this Thursday, September 30th and October 7th, 1 to 3 p.m. So you got two classes, 2 hours each on Thursday, September 30th and October 7th. And then if Tuesdays fit you better in mornings, it's October 5th and 12th, 9:30 to 11:30. And all you have to do is call 303-797-5722. There is a $35 registration fee for the college. And once again, you may bring a spouse, partner, or guest. You'll get a textbook. And seating is limited, but I promise you, you can tell from just what David has walked through. He will take you through as much information as possible during this seminar, and it will be a very valuable time. So, David, as always, sir, we appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to our visit next week, sir.
You bet. Have a great week, Scott.
All right. You as well, sir. That's David C. Sean once again with the Householder Group. They're estate and retirement specialist. Their number at the office, 720-482-1917.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loan to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hi, this is Chris Kane with 303roofer.com. If you're looking to put on a new roof because of hail, give us a call at 303-390-1382. We'll give you a cash price, which means you'll most likely get to keep some of your insurance money instead of giving it to us. It's your money, we know that, and we'll price the work accordingly. So give us a call today, 303-390-1382, or go to our website, 303roofer.com.
This is KLZ 560 AM, your home station.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we would like to welcome you to Your Health Matters now. Again, Dr. Shane Stedman and his team are with us each week, or a member of his team, I should say. And today we are glad to have Dr. Perry Maynard with us. Dr. Maynard, how are you, sir?
I am good, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm good. You have a good weekend?
It was a good weekend. We went to a comedy show. I'd never been to the Comedy Works before, which was fun, and went to a concert at Red Rock. So it was a good weekend.
You had a good weekend. Yeah, those Comedy Work deals, those are pretty fun, man. And hey, we all need a laugh now for sure. But those are pretty fun.
Exactly. you got to be able to laugh during these times.
Absolutely. Well, again, our show is Your Health Matters, brought to you by Integrated Health Systems, and we are glad to have Dr. Perry Maynard with us today. All right, Dr. Maynard, you guys are going to be doing your webinar, I believe, tomorrow night, right?
Yep.
Okay, 6 o'clock.
Yep.
And that is absolutely free of charge. Now, you can go to their Facebook page, Integrated Health Systems, and you can find a post right there pretty close to the top, and you can register there. Or you can call their office, 303-781-5617, and they will get you the necessary information for this webinar. But really going to be dealing a lot with autoimmune. How do you really say it? Do you say autoimmune conditions, diseases? I mean, what's the right term when you talk about autoimmune?
That's a great question. There's definitely, you have certain types of, it is kind of a used term and kind of a loosely used term. You could look at autoimmune processes, but most of the time, if we're discussing something, it may be an autoimmune disease. So things like maybe a celiac or Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disease. You could also say autoimmune condition. It kind of, I think is interchangeable in those things versus kind of discussing an autoimmune process is not necessarily discussing that it's the disease per se, but discussing the mechanisms behind how the process actually occurs. But some of it, I think, is a little bit of nuances. And like I said, I think can be, like I said, disease is usually at the point of kind of the disorder that something is actually occurring and being negatively impacted. Whether that be the thyroid's becoming destroyed or the brain is being destroyed from something like MS versus someone who may maybe have the illness or the condition but isn't manifesting, you could argue, the disease process, if that kind of makes sense.
Sure. Are you finding, if you take, the last, 3 or 4 or 5 years and to where you are today, are you finding more and more people are finding out they do suffer from this autoimmune issue?
Definitely, and I think the question is, are we just recognizing it now and looking for it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one aspect. I think the testing is better. But I would imagine, arguably, that there are more developing cases each year. We know that the numbers are going up and that autoimmune disorders are becoming more prevalent. And I think it's a culmination between the world we live in from a stress standpoint, just continues to become, we have everything, but what's funny is we have everything at the tip of our fingers, but that makes the world even more stressful, right? So the evolution of things with technology, but the way food's changed, the way agriculture has changed, environmental pollutants, I think there's so many different things in the world right now that makes sense for affecting our immune system and why you seem to be seeing this uptick in autoimmune conditions.
Right. Once again, Dr. Perry Maynard is our guest, and you're listening to Your Health Matters. All right, so let's kind of break this down a little bit. And again, I know we've gone all through this, but, you know, new listeners all the time. And you mentioned, boy, I mean, that proper diagnosis is where it starts. Because I think there's so many people, and I'm sure you guys see it every day, the frustration of people being sick, not feeling good, going to regular, and this isn't a slam on our regular primary care docs, but they just check for different things sometimes. But how do you go about really getting that proper diagnosis?
No, definitely. So when you're looking at autoimmune conditions, there's the piece that is the history, right? So history first is super key, you know, and the big difference between us and a lot of places is some people may take a five-minute history where we may dive in anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour on a history, right? Because all things are important, even from childhood. So childhood infections, childhood traumas, things that happened as a kid, or the timeline, trying to figure when things started. So history is really key. And then the examination. So really seeing maybe if it's a patient suffering from something like MS, those may have certain clinical manifestations that you may pick up on examination. And then you layer that on top of maybe appropriate other testing that may include maybe imaging or further blood work tests that then may give you the ultimate diagnosis. You know, there are certain autoimmune diseases. Let's take, you know, celiac disease. Technically, to get to that diagnosis, you need to have a scope of your intestines to show that the microvilli in the intestines have been destroyed, right? So they have certain presentations, just like things like Crohn's, ulcerative colitis will have a certain presentation on certain scopes. You know, so there's certain ones that rely heavily on maybe an image or a picture of a tissue versus others that may rely more on an antibody. So, but it really, you have to be careful with just using antibody testing. So you may have antibodies, but sometimes that person may not be manifesting that disease process. So really you want to look at the antibodies. So the tag of the immune system attacking that tissue. So in things like Hashimoto's, TPO antibodies or thyroglobulin antibodies, but then do they have the manifestation? Is their TSH very elevated? Are they fatigued? Are they blah, 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 all these other things? Because just the antibodies alone don't necessarily give you the full clinical picture. It just lets you know something's not going on right. So you really need to look at all of those pieces to merge together to ultimately come to that diagnosis, which I think is very important because I think that although autoimmune diseases are becoming more prevalent, I think the term is overused. And a lot of people get labeled as autoimmune conditions. And where my argument is that that's a very hefty diagnosis that comes with a lot. And we need to be very careful before using that term. Because you can't get rid of them, you know. Once their autoimmune condition is there, to the best of our knowledge right now, it's there, right? The best you can do is really manage flares and hope for remission and find triggers and things like that. So, you need that full approach to really figure out what's going on.
Sure. So when you talk about managing it and those flares, I mean, what does that take from a patient's side then to, is it from usually – what they eat? I mean, it always comes down to what we eat.
it's all of the above. You know, like I said, finding, you know, I think the reason food gets so focused on by so many people is, one, it's something that we're exposed to multiple times a day, every day, right? Versus maybe that chemical plant you drive by, you know, once a week. It's something that you're ingesting over and over again, and then it's something that we have relative control over, you know, besides in certain communities, in certain areas, in rural communities or underserved areas where there may not be access to certain foods. If you live in a metropolitan area, you have exposure or you have the opportunity to find good quality food. You know, in Denver, there's plenty of areas to get good quality food. You could argue that money is definitely a barrier, but going back to your point, food is a big thing, right? So when we look at triggers for autoimmune diseases, foods can be big triggers. Environmental pollutants, so what we breathe in our air. Sometimes the chemicals in beauty products or soaps or lotions can be irritants or triggers. Infections, so different viral infections, bacterial infections can be triggers. Imbalances in the gut bacteria in our gut can be triggers, right? So there's a lot of different things. So our goal always, and on the patient's end, is our goal, or what we're trying to do for the patient, is try to find as many of those triggers and then try to give the patient the best plan, once again, whether it be dietary, supplement, or whatever it may be, to try to avoid those triggers. But it definitely takes a lot of work on the patient's end, and it can be exhausting. You know, and the mental strain sometimes for patients, sure, especially of just diet alone, can be a ton. And that's something we want to pay attention, though, too, because we know that stress can be a huge trigger. So we want people eating clean and getting rid of triggers, but we want to be careful that it doesn't cause even more stress, because I would argue that's one of the biggest triggers for existing autoimmune conditions, but also triggering new autoimmune conditions.
Right. Now, I know we've talked about this before, but so if you say you have an autoimmune, you know, issue that you're working with and all, what do you, and I know we got Lindsay there that helps with the nutrition side, but as far as like, you know, fasting and doing different things like that, I mean, does that have to be really specifically dialed in for each individual on what they do if they do have an autoimmune issue?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think fasting is a really interesting thing when it comes to autoimmune diseases. And there's some research, there's more and more research going out there. Some of it's from a man named Walter Longo out of, I'm pretty sure, USC. And the thought with fasting is that as we go into a fasted state, we activate certain processes called autophagy and mitophagy. And autophagy is where we ingest or we break down inefficient cells throughout our body. So some of the thoughts with fasting towards autoimmune, or what is being shown in some mouse studies, is that when you look at autoimmune, you can activate immune cells that attack self tissue. And the thought is, by going through a state of fasting, you start to clear out all of these inefficient immune cells. So say you have 10,000 autoreactive T cells out of a population of 1,000,000. The goal with fasting is that you lower that population more and more and more, because as we go through a fasted state, let's say I'm doing a 5-day fast and I have no access to food, my body says, now is not a time to build, now is a time to break down. Mm-hmm. So let's break down all the inefficient cells within our body and kind of clear house and clean out. So it can be a very powerful tool, but it does have to be chosen wisely, because you know, you can't just throw people into it, because it can be very stressful. So yeah, we'll do a lot to try to work people into being able to fast, almost like earn the opportunity to fast and to graduate people to that point, because a lot of people have blood sugar issues or adrenal issues or hormone issues, and if you dive them into fasting, they may crumble and they may crash. So a lot of times you have to get a patient stable, and then maybe what we'll do sometimes is we'll work in a little bit of intermittent fasting, or maybe once a week a 24-hour fast, but ultimately getting to the point of doing something like a 5-day fast, you know, maybe every 6 weeks or once a quarter or something like that, and then spreading it out. But fasting can definitely be a powerful tool, but it's got to be used at different points in care for everyone, because you need certain prerequisites in order to really do it.
Sure. And I realize when we talk about medical things, we want to talk in generalities, because everyone should consult their doctor before they you know, kind of do anything like this. But when you talk about a 5-day fast, are you talking about strictly drinking? Because we all need fluid, right? We need to keep drinking, yeah, during those fasts, right?
Yeah. It's a strictly wine-only fast. No, I'm just,
yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, there's different types. So there is just water fasting. What I like, and I think what is there's also what's called the fasting mimicking diet. Once again, this is created by Walter Longo out of USC, and right, so it's hard to get people to not eat for 5 days. So, or once again, you may have individuals who are frail or elderly or are at risk of losing too much weight. So he developed what's called a fasting mimicking diet, and it's a diet that has specific ratios of protein, fat, carbs, specific timing, but pretty much a way of being able to eat but still showing that they were getting the same benefits as individuals who were doing a five-day fast. So that's why it's called a fasting mimicking diet. So some individuals will do a fasting mimicking diet. Others, we may do a water fast. It kind of depends on what our goals may be. Really, when you're looking at to have autophagy occur, one of the big things you want to try to lower is protein. So protein and excessive protein is not a bad thing, but protein inhibits autophagy. So during those times, we really want to lower protein intake, but specifically certain amino acids that can be very anabolic or stimulate growth, right? And that can be one of the biggest triggers that inhibits that autophagy process. Mm-hmm. So depending on, once again, whether we're just wanting to improve metabolic function, insulin resistance, or wanting to stimulate autophagy, may determine what type of five-day fast we do. But, yeah, there are different ones, everything from a fasting mimicking diet to a water fast.
All right. Once again, if you're just joining us, Dr. Perry Maynard is with us. Integrated Health Systems is the company. There will be a webinar tomorrow night, the 28th, 6 p.m. You can go to their Facebook page, Integrated Health Systems, and you can find a post real quick there. And you can register, or you can call their office, 303-781-5617, and tell them you'd like to join that free webinar. And they will be, the whole team will be going through a lot more in detail of what we are just kind of scratching the surface on here today with Dr. Maynard. So let's talk about supplements a minute. Man, we could do a whole show on that. But I know I'm on a couple that Dr. Stedman has me working on some things. And so I always just tell people, man, be careful what you take, you know, without knowing the ingredients and all that. And I know you guys do a great job with the companies that you guys carry, but kind of talk about how supplements might fit into this autoimmune world.
Definitely. So, you know, supplements can fit in. The way myself and Dr. Stedman kind of look at things is mechanisms. And we try to think what mechanisms may be broken in one's physiology, and then how do we use specific supplements or nutrients to try to target those areas, right? It's kind of like, you know, people say, you know, take fish oil. Fish oil is great for everyone. Well, why is that person taking it? What is the goal? What is the therapeutic goal of taking that supplement? So this is where, you know, blood work tells us a ton. So blood work, we try to collect as much data as we can to give us a window into the status of their inflammation, their hormones, infections, their immune system, because then we can use specific supplements to try to rebalance their immune system or calm down inflammation or to improve conversion of certain hormones to then indirectly affect another process. So, yeah, there's not really necessarily one hormone that is great for everyone with autoimmune conditions. It's really mm-hmm. dependent on each person and their blueprint or their fingerprint, their immune fingerprint. Because in one person, you may want to do things to stimulate one side of the immune system, and in another person, you might want to do the complete opposite, you know? And one thing that could be helpful for one autoimmune patient could be extremely detrimental to another. I mean, we know things like vitamin D. Vitamin D is a pretty safe thing that we know overall is good for pretty much all autoimmune conditions. And that lowers risk for autoimmune conditions if you have, you know, appropriate vitamin D status. You know, for the most part, things like glutathione in most autoimmune conditions tends to be really effective and safe. So some of those, there are some simple things that you see most people do really well with.
Right.
But then there's some nuance in minutia to other individuals because it depends on what does their chemistry tell you. And what process do you want to shift for them? Because once again, you could have someone who has an autoimmune condition that's being flared by recurrent, you know, Mono or Epstein-Barr viruses. And in that case, you may want to do a bunch of things with antivirals and things to boost certain arms of their immune system that may help them. And then in another person, maybe dysbiosis in their gut is what's affecting them. So you need to use specific supplements to modulate their gut. So yeah, supplements can be very powerful, but you got to get to the root of what's going on. And then from there, use supplements to affect specific processes in the body to then help calm down and regulate the immune system.
All right. Now, we've talked about this before, but if we got a few minutes here to talk about it. And peptides and autoimmune. So this is as peptide. This is like a therapy, right?
Yep. So peptides are kind of amino acid sequences. So some of these peptides that we are discussing. So right, when you look at peptides, peptides are just short chains of amino acids, right? And certain lengths of peptides, so once again, you have dipeptides, tripeptides, all these different things that have to do with the length of the peptides. Usually peptides are shorter strings of amino acids, usually I think upwards of like 50 amino acids long. But amino acids, we know, are building blocks of different proteins. So there's certain peptides that are naturally occurring in the body. So one example would be something, and this is used a lot in autoimmune diseases, something called thymosin alpha. Thymosin alpha is a peptide that is released from the thymusin gland in our body, right? The thymusin gland is where we mature T cells and B cells, and we make a bunch of immune cells. And so it plays a big role in the immune system. So what we can do is we can synthesize some of these specific peptides to go after specific mechanisms or to signal different things. So what thymosin alpha does, for example, is thymosin alpha will stimulate certain parts of your immune system, more specifically your innate immune system. And we'll use this a lot of times when people have like chronic viral infections and things like that. But it also seems to have an overall regulatory function of the immune system. So it plays a role in just kind of bringing it into homeostasis or balance, versus you have peptides like thymosin alpha or BPC-157 that can have a little bit more of anti-inflammatory or regenerative effects. So they help to regenerate tissue and grow new tissues. So there, it's kind of a cool avenue that we're learning more and more about, but you have peptides that can affect hormones, the immune system, inflammation, cartilage growth, help with growth of, or help with things like brain-derived neurotrophic factor in the brain. So we'll use peptides a lot of times, once again, going after certain mechanisms. So example being, if I have a patient maybe with Hashimoto's with chronic Epstein-Barr virus infections and their immune system is just being suppressed, and that this virus continues to flare them, we may use something like a thymosin alpha to stimulate their immune system to try to manage or overcome this infection, which then sometimes can then quell the inflammation or decrease the autoimmune flares. Or we may use something like a BPC-157 to help repair one's gut lining. So we know that when there becomes breakdown in the gut lining, that can trigger autoimmune diseases. Mm-hmm. So we may use a regenerative peptide to heal the gut. And by healing the gut and normalizing the barrier, you may decrease food's influence on an autoimmune condition. And therefore, you may improve an autoimmune patient's symptoms by using a peptide in that way. So once again, there's a lot of different cool ways you can use them.
Right. So left untreated, or, and we'll just say guys are probably the worst at this, of just ignoring our situation and just think something won't turn into anything bad. I mean, if we just totally ignore this autoimmune issues that we may be feeling, what's the downside of that?
I mean, from an individual standpoint, I mean, depending on the immune, it could be, I mean, some autoimmune, severe disability to death. You know, I mean, some autoimmune diseases, if not managed, can definitely be fatal. You know, but also, you know, I mean, decrease your work time, your income potential. You know, so some of the things that maybe people think about more, you know, so once again, it could be anything from, once again, losing your job, not being able to work, relationships being affected from being sick, you know, cost of healthcare management. I mean, I'd say the biggest thing is the cost of these things if left unmanaged and untreated. You know, the medical bills,
sure,
or once again, if needing to be hospitalized and those things. So really, there can be so many effects from autoimmune conditions. I mean, they can be so devastating to so many individuals financially, emotionally, and mentally. And then also, unfortunately, they can take people's lives.
Right.
You know, so they're one of those things that the sooner you can get a hold on, usually the better. Mm-hmm. The longer left untreated, the harder it is to do things.
And I think the best way to start out is come in and get a really good blood panel with you guys and let the team take a look at things and just to see where you are. And you know what? Hey, if everything's good, hey, you're good for another year and then get you another blood work in another year. But your blood work sure can tell you a lot, can it?
It can. No, I think that's a great point is, you know, we go to our physical. Unfortunately, our physicals these days aren't very comprehensive, but really getting a actual true good physical where you're getting a full workup and someone's spending more than 15 minutes with you. Someone spending 15 minutes with you and tells you you're healthy,
yeah,
don't believe them.
Yeah.
You can't really tell much about someone in 15 minutes. You got to really dive under the hood. It'd be no different than taking your car to the mechanic and they do a walk around and they say, yeah, it looks good.
Sure.
They didn't look under the hood. They didn't look under the car. They didn't check the tires. They didn't look inside. How can they really know how it's running when they don't even turn it on and do anything with it?
No, great analogy.
So I think that is a really good key. And once again, staying on top of things and getting on top of things before they come a serious issue.
Absolutely. Well, join us for this free webinar tomorrow night, Tuesday, September 28th, 6 p.m. Go to the Facebook page, Integrated Health Systems. You can get more information there. You can also call the office, 303-781-5617. Tell them you'd like the link information for this free webinar tomorrow night on autoimmune conditions. And again, the Integrated Health Systems team will be there to help you. So, Dr. Maynard, as always, know you're busy. We appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to our visit next time, sir.
Thank you so much, Scott.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for joining us today for Your Health Matters.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation. 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Steadman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.